One of the songs that we've been singing in the church for a couple of weeks now is the song, Goodness of God. And this last week, as we were fasting and praying, this song has, I've been singing this song and listening to this song and singing along to the song throughout this week as part of my personal prayer and meditation. And just, it's been such a great experience just to enjoy going through this, listening to this song and singing, and just to declare God's goodness in my own life. And you know, all my life, as this chorus goes, all my life you have been faithful. It's true, isn't it? It's been faithful. We all can testify of God's goodness. All my life you've been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. And this has been my anthem this last 1 week. We all believe that our God, the God we serve, is good, isn't it? He's a good God. He's a good God. We believe that God's goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our lives. We believe that all God's promises are true. They are yes and amen. And especially this week, as last week, as some of you family know about our own personal situation, where we've been praying for my nephew back in India, who was born premature, 36 weeks, and had to be in the ICU, and his sugar levels were fluctuating. There was problem with his oxygen level in his body and all kinds of complication. And we've been crying out to God. And yes, declaring, God, you are faithful. You are good. And I just want to say, for those who've been praying with us, God has been really, really showing us that he is indeed good. And the boy is doing much better. For those who are just praying, just for you, I encourage you. God is this boy is doing very good, and his sugar levels are under control. His oxygen levels are fine. I don't understand the medical terms or anything, but he is doing well. He is doing well. So I want to thank God for that. And actually, my prayer as I was preparing, my prayer and my desire for this church family, this local body of Christ, will be that each one of you, young, old, or young and old, and man or woman, would experience God's goodness and mercy and all God's promises in your life in 2020. This is my prayer. And not just 2020, in the years to come. This is my prayer, that we will really experience God's goodness. And this has been our prayer during this week of fasting and prayer. All God's promises, all his promises for his children, those who put their trust in him, those who have given their life to him, those who have decided to follow him. He has promised all his goodness and mercy to follow them. These promises are for us not to just to know in our mind, but these promises that God has given us are for us to experience. They're not just merely written in a book for us to know of. But I want to submit this morning that this is for us. If you've been knowing this, if you know that, maybe you know this. But this is for us in 2020 and years to come, for us to experience daily, daily. And I pray that God, that you will experience his goodness. You will experience his mercy and his promises in your life. But in order for us to experience and see God's promises working out in our lives, as I said, it's not just to know, but it's to see really working out in our own lives. Amen? But in order for his goodness, his mercy, his promises to work out in our lives, there has to be some response from us. Are you with me? There has to be some response from our side. Now, God will always, remember, God will always keep his side of the deal, okay? But if we don't align our lives to his will and his purpose, then we will not experience his goodness and mercy. Are you with me? He will keep his side of the deal. But you and I have the responsibility to, on a daily basis, to align our lives, our will, to his will and his purpose. And it's only then that you are going to experience His goodness and His mercy in your life. And as children of God, God's desire is that we enjoy His goodness and mercy. And His goodness and mercy, by the way, is His own presence in our lives. It's not just some financial blessing. Yes, that can happen. It's not just healing. Yes, that can happen and that will happen according to His will and His purpose. But more than anything else, more than material things, more than the things of the world, His goodness and His mercy, His promises, more than anything else, is His presence in our lives. Don't we desire that? Don't we want that in 2020 and years to come? We want His presence. But often we do not experience His goodness and His mercy because we get sidetracked. We lose sight of God and often live a life that is contrary to God's will. Are you with me? Often we wait till we wait till we have made a mess of things before we turn to God, before we cry out to God. And it's true of all of us in some or other way. And no matter how old or young you are, we all have a tendency to push boundaries. Are you with me? We all have a tendency to push boundaries like little kids. Okay? Often, you know, those of you have children would understand very well what I'm trying to talk about. You know, kids have this rebellious tendency to push boundaries. You know, Bible is not, you know, for no reason says that there is foolishness in a child's heart. There is foolishness in a child's heart. Children, if you're here, I don't mean to be rude, but that's what the word says. Okay. You know, they have this tendency to push boundaries, to see how far they can get away with disobedience and mischief. And I face that. And I'm sure you face that, those of your parents. But as the disciples of Jesus Christ, we know what our boundaries are, don't we? We know our boundaries, and often we try to push them. We try to push them and still expect God's mercy and His goodness to follow us. Isn't that true? We try to see how far we can get away with our rebellion and our disobedience. And we are hoping to still experience God's mercy and God's goodness to continue following us like in the past. I'm sorry, it doesn't work like that. Yes, God will never... Hear me. God will never leave you or forsake you. That's His promise. Are you with me? He will never leave you or forsake you. But you can choose to go out of His boundaries and His will and His purposes. Are you with me? He will never leave you or forsake you. But you can choose to go out of His purpose and His will and not experience God's presence and God's goodness in your life. And because of our rebellion and sin, because the God we worship, cannot be part of sin and disobedience, we will not experience His presence. The reason we will not experience His presence is that because of our rebellion and our disobedience. And we can learn this from the life of the Israelites. If you read the Old Testament, if you read Judges and some, you know, we've been, in last year we went through Judges. We've been listening to the account of how the people of Israel kept going away from the Lord again and again. And this morning I'm going to share a few principles again from the book of Judges, chapter 10. Just to show you how we can continue in God's presence, His goodness, and the mercy, His mercy all the days of our lives, and how we can miss His goodness and His mercy in our life. And if you know the story of Israel, you will know that they kept going away from the Lord. They kept going in and out of God's presence. They kept rebelling. They kept sinning. And when they got into trouble, what would they do? They would shout out to God. They will cry out to God. And God, out of His compassion, read the account, God, out of His mercy, out of His compassion, out of His amazing love, what does He do? He delivers them. He intervenes and delivers them and rescues them from their enemy, only for them to forget him again and go back to being rebellious and live in sin. I know we are not perfect yet. I understand that. We are not perfect. We are, the Bible tells us that he, the one who's called us, he's faithful. And he's the one who's going to make us perfect. Work in progress. I understand that. We are work in progress. But we can choose still to rebel and sin against God. Are you with me? We can choose to rebel and sin against God. We are work in process indeed. But the problem is when we continue living in sin, even after being convicted by the Spirit of God, even after being time and again, God speaking to you, showing you signs, you know, showing through, speaking to you through people and speaking through you through the Word of God, speaking to you through the suffering that you've been, the trouble that you've been through because of the choice that you made to sin and rebel against us, against God. So let us not continue living in sin and rebellion if we call ourselves the follower of Jesus Christ. If we truly want to experience his goodness and mercy, can I request or can I plead with you? Let's stop, continue living in sin. Let's stop, continue living in the habits that takes us away from the Lord, that steers us away from his presence. Now, unlike the Israelites, we'll have to make this a daily habit to reach out to God. We'll have to make this a daily habit to check if we are walking in his ways. Like David prayed, what was David's prayer? Search me, O Lord, and know my thoughts. Know my inmost thought, David prayed. And see that if there is any wicked ways in me. David's prayer was that, Lord, search me each day. Search me, O God. Let that be our prayer this morning. If we really want to experience his goodness and mercy, let that be our prayer, that search me, O Lord. Search me. Let's not get just puffed up and proud that I've not committed any sin today. But ask God. You may not have physically done something, but you know what? We are constantly tempted by the enemy. There's this constant battle of thoughts, evil thoughts in our minds. And that is why we need to cry out to God, search me, O God, and know my inmost thoughts and see if there are any wicked ways in me. Let us begin this year by just slowly pulling out those weeds of sin and habits that slowly creeping into our minds, into our thoughts, and even before it becomes a part of our character, part of our life, let's try and take them out and throw them away and walk in God's presence and in his goodness daily. This is my prayer. This is my desire for us as a church. Now, how do we do that? How do we do that? I want to read from Judges. Shall we turn to Judges chapter 10? Judges 10, 6 to 16. Judges chapter 10. We might be able to. Lekan, were you successful in putting it up? If you can. Otherwise, don't worry. Judges 10, 6 to 16. Okay. Let it come. You have your Bibles. If it comes up on the screen. But I'm going to read this. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. There you go. Okay? And you will read this a couple of times in the Old Testament. Again, the Israelites did evil. Again, the Israelites did evil. You know? Again, the Israelites. Again, when it says again, that means they've done it again. It's simple for us to understand, isn't it? There's no rocket science here. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They served the Baals and the Ashtaroths and the gods of Aram, the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the Ammonites, and the gods of the Philistines. And because the Israelites forsook the Lord and no longer served him, he became angry with him. He sold them into the hands of the Philistines and the Ammonites, who that year shattered and crushed them. For 18 years, they oppressed all the Israelites on the east side of the Jordan in Gilead, the land of the Amorites. The Ammonites also crossed the Jordan to fight against Judah, Benjamin, and Ephraim. Israel was in great distress. Then the Israelites, hear me, then the Israelites did what? Cried out to the Lord, "We have sinned against you, forsaking our God and serving the Baals." The Lord replied, when the Egyptians, the Amorites, the Ammonites, the Philistines, the Sidonites, the Amalekites, the Moabites, and all the Ites oppressed you, you cried to me for help. Did I not save you from their hands? But you have forsaken me and served other gods, so I will no longer save you. Go and cry out to the gods you have chosen. Let them save you when you are in trouble. But the Israelites said to the Lord, "We have sinned. Do with us whatever you think best. But please rescue us now." That they got rid of the foreign gods and among them and served the Lord. And it says, and this is what moves my heart, and he could bear Israel's misery no longer. That's our God, who is compassionate, who is merciful, who is slow to anger. That's the God we serve. And the Bible says that we are not destroyed. Why? We are not destroyed because of his great mercy. You and I are not destroyed because of his great mercy. And he showed his great mercy on the cross as Jesus suffered and bled and died, and every bit of his muscles and veins were pulled out. That's how God showed and displayed his mercy, his love. And it is because of that grace, that amazing mercy and grace, that you and I are not destroyed. You know, last Sunday we were reminded how much we need the power of the Holy Spirit that God has promised to us. Do you remember that? And that's been one of our prayers this week. And I hope that we continue to pray and seek God to fill us with his Spirit. That he will baptize each one of us with his Holy Spirit. And Sunday before last, we were reminded about the most important resolution that we need to make. That has eternal value and worth. Resolutions that really matters in our life. Now for both this to happen, both experiencing the power of God and to be able to pursue the most important resolution in 2020, we need to take stock of our lives daily. Are you with me? We need to check our lives daily. I want to highlight 5 principles to examine ourselves daily in order to continue experiencing God's presence in our lives. And it's all in verses verses 15 and 16. Now, to make it easy for us to remember, I'm calling this the C5 routine. Are you with me? Yeah? You like that? Some of us like routine, isn't it? I think we all have routine, whether we like routine or not. We all have routine. So I'm calling this C5 routine. What is it? C5. Oh, you're with me. That's good. You're awake. C5 routine, it is the spiritual exercise routine. Those of you who don't go to gym, do this. Those who go to gym, still do this. Okay? C5 routine, okay. We all are people of routine, as I said. We all have our routine in life. We all have a certain time, we wake up, and there are certain things we do as a routine. I don't want to go into the details. In the same way, for a child of God, the disciple of Jesus Christ, we got to make sure that part of our daily routine we practice the C5 routine daily. Are you with me? Okay. To do what? In order to continue experiencing and living in the presence of God. This is important. To really continue on a daily basis, not once in a while, not when we have a loud singing and praise, and when the band is singing and there's a lot of noise and jumping, not just then, but every day, even in our loneliness, even when I'm at work, even when I'm traveling, even when I'm quiet, I want to experience God's presence. Yes, God, you will experience God's presence here as a community of believers because He promised to be with us. But you know what? He also promised to come with us. Amen? And He's there with us as if you are a child of God, if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, He keeps His promise. He'll be with you in the train. He'll be with you at work. But the only difference is, are you experiencing His witness with you? Are you with me? Okay, now, the first step, okay, I'll tell you this is how it is, the five. Confess, commit, cry out, clear out, and cling on. What are they? Confess, commit, cry out, clear out, and cling on. Can you say that loudly? And I promise this will never go off from your mind. Okay, let's start. The first step to C5 routine is daily confess our sins and failures before God. Daily, on a daily basis. It says, but the Israelites said to the Lord, we have sinned. That's the confession. Lord, we have messed up. We have sinned. We made a mess of all that you've done for us. Time after time, time and again. We mess things up. And our relationship with God always must start with us acknowledging our sins and our failures and confessing and repenting from them. Not just acknowledging, but confessing and repenting from them. You know, repentance. You know what repentance is? Turning from where you were going to the opposite direction. Sinning is showing your back to God. You know that? Sinning is showing your back to the creator of the universe. The God who created you. The God who gave His life for you. So repent. Turn back. Face God. You want to experience the presence of God daily in your life? Face Him. Are you with me? Face Him each day. How do you face Him? Start by confessing, Lord, I have sinned against you. Lord, I have made a mess of things. Confess. Confess and turn back to Him. Because sin separates us from God. Are you with me? Sin separates us. Sin brings a barrier or a wall between God and me. In Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, it says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor is ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. The problem is not with God. The problem is with you and me. It is our sin that causes you not to see His face. It is our sin that becomes a hindrance for our prayer to be heard. Are you with me? If you're a man or a woman who experiences God's presence daily, you will immediately realize when you don't sense God's presence. Are you with me? If you're a man and a woman who experience God's presence daily, you will immediately recognize and detect when you're not experiencing His presence. And that is when we need to confess and repent and turn to God. So that's number one. What's the C5 routine? Number one? Confess. Confess your sin and your failures before God daily. Don't cry out to him like Israel when you messed up and you've just been down and in your dumps and just staying there and not going back to him. No. As soon as you make a mess, just go back to him. So, Lord, I messed it up. I'm sorry. As I said, we are not perfect. Yes, we do make a mess. But let's not continue in that mess. That's all I'm saying. Let's not continue in that mess and still expect God's presence and his goodness in our lives. Second thing, the second step of C5 routine is to what? Commit. Huh? Commit. Yes, somebody said cry out. Not there. Not, don't cry out yet. Commit our lives to God and surrender to his lordship. Are you with me? It says, but the Israelites said to the Lord, we have sinned. Do with us whatever you think best, Lord. Do with us whatever you think best. What are they doing? They are committing themselves. They are surrendering themselves to the mercy of their Creator, their God. And after we have confessed, next thing that we need to do is commit and surrender to the Lordship of our God on a daily basis. Isaiah 30:15 says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. What is it? In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. So confess and then do what? Commit. Surrender. Surrender. In 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Humble yourself. Or in a Psalm 37:5, the psalmist says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. Humble yourself, commit your ways, surrender your life, complete to his lordship. And often what we do is that we confess and acknowledge our sins and our rebellion, but we hesitate to commit. We hesitate to surrender to God because of two main reasons. A, because we feel that God must be sick and tired of me. How many of you feel like that? You feel that God must be sick and tired of me. He must be, you know, so we doubt his ability to forgive us. Are you with me? The reason we don't confess and we don't commit ourselves to him is that because we feel that God cannot love me anymore. But that's the lie of the enemy. He loves you the same. The only thing he's asking you is to come back. Are you with me? He's simply asking you, come back. Let's stay together. Let's not try to push boundaries. Stay with me, and you will experience his presence. And secondly, because there are areas in our lives that we are not willing to give complete control to God. Are you with me? There are areas that we hesitate. Lord, your lordship is for this Lord in my life, this part, this thing. But this, you know what? You don't need to see that. You know, you don't need that, Lord. Don't we do that? You don't need that part. You just take these three. I'm giving you these three, and it's pretty much complete, isn't it? Complete means what? Everything. Everything. Nothing. We cannot keep anything away. Complete means when if you really want to experience his goodness, if you really want to experience and continue to experience God's goodness in you, his deliverance in your life, you've got to commit every area of your life to him. Nothing holding back. Nothing holding back. The reason quite often as Christians, as the disciple of Jesus Christ, we don't experience God's deliverance in our life is that because we are holding back to stuff. And we wonder what's happening, Lord. Lord, haven't I been praying? Haven't I been fasting? Haven't I been giving you this? And haven't I been doing that? I'm sorry. If you really want to know, ask the Lord. And I promise you that he will tell you. And he doesn't even need to tell you. You know the areas you are holding back from him. Are you with me? So the moment you surrender that, I promise you will experience His presence. I promise you will experience His goodness. I promise you will experience His amazing grace in your life, holding nothing back. Submit. James 4:7 says, submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Let year 2020 be the year where you turn to God daily. Let year 2020 may be a year where you commit your life to Him daily. Not just once in a week on a Sunday, but daily. Let that become part of your daily routine. Daily routine. And moving on quickly, the third step, C5 routine. The third step of C5 routine, what is it? It's to cry out to God in prayer. It says, but the Israelites said to the Lord, we have sinned. Do with us whatever you think best. But please, please rescue us now. And after you've acknowledged your sin and with brokenness and humility, committing yourself to His Lordship, then you know what? You have the privilege of going before the throne of grace boldly. Did you hear me? After you have confessed, after you have surrendered, after you have committed every area of your life, He gives you the privilege. You receive the privilege, or you will have the boldness. He has given the privilege, but you will have the boldness. Till then, you will not have the boldness. If you have not confessed, if you have not committed yourself, you will not have the boldness to go before Him. He has given you the privilege as the child of God, as the disciple of Jesus. You have the privilege to go before the throne of grace. But where did the boldness come from? When we confess and when we commit and surrender and say, Lord, all I am and all I have is yours. Not just in song, but in reality. And that's when you get the boldness to go before the throne of grace that He is open wide for you and to cry out to Him. And to cry out to Him. You know, out of all people, David knows that the only way to receive God's mercy is to cry out to Him in repentance and in submission to His will. In Psalm 51, it says, my sacrifice, O God, is broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, you, God, will not despise. My heart, my sacrifices, oh God, is a broken spirit. It's only a broken spirit. If you remember the Beatitude, it's only the broken spirit. It's only the poor who will see God. It's only the poor who will experience God's presence and His goodness in their life. In Psalm 51, King David cries for help and deliverance after he acknowledges his sin of committing what? Adultery, murder, and also trying to hide the whole issue, the whole scandal. And when he is confronted, this is what he cries out to God. And it says that in Psalm 51:10, it says, create in me a clean heart, O God. This is his cry. Rescue me, O God. Forgive me. I am undone. Have mercy upon me. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your. He's praying for what? Presence. His presence. Cast me not away from your presence. But restore unto me the joy of salvation and renew a right spirit within me. You know what? Let this be your prayer this year. This is part of my prayer every day, church. Part of my prayer. Part of my prayer is, Lord, create in me a clean heart. You know what? Our heart is capable of all kinds of deception and sin. Our hearts and our minds are capable of rebelling again and again and sinning again and again against God. And that's why we need to cry out to Him on a daily basis. Not just confess and commit, but cry out to God in prayer. Say, Lord, have mercy. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Make this your prayer, church. Make this your daily prayer. Cry out to him. Cry out to him. So what are the C5 routine? What is the C5 routine that we're going to have this year? Confess. Commit. Cry out. Moving on. The fourth step of C5. I'll be finished soon. The fourth step of C5 routine is to, what is it? You remember? Clear out. Clear out the clutter of idols that took us away from him and caused us to rebel against his lordship. It says, but the Israelites said to the Lord, we have sinned. They've confessed. Do with us whatever you think. They have done what? Surrendered. But please rescue us. They have cried out. Then it says, then they got, what did they do? Then they got rid of the foreign gods among them. Just like some daily, decluttering, you know, we need to do around our house, don't we? In our house, if we don't declutter regularly, what will happen? You will start doing what? Accumulating stuff. Sorry? You would drown. More than anybody, Jackie knows what it means. She has helped people struggling with cluttering. Isn't that true, Jackie? She's been in situations where she couldn't get into people's house because of clutter. Decluttering. We want to declutter our house. We like to declutter our offices, our workplace, so that we can do what? Work efficiently. Is that clear? It's only when things are decluttered that we can actually clearly see. Otherwise, what happens? We're just still lost. We're hitting and then bumping into things that we should not be. Are you with me? We've got to declutter. I don't know your foreign gods, what foreign gods you're holding on to that are causing you to trip and fall again and again and again. I don't know what clutter you've got. But you know the things that are not supposed to be there in your lives are to go. Are you with me? Things that are trying to misplace our priorities. Things that are trying to take God's place in our life. That's what idol is. Are you with me? You know the things that is hindering your clear communication with God. You know the things that is causing you to fall again and again. I was thinking about it as I was preparing this of how could I demonstrate. Demonstration is always good, isn't it? And I want to reach to Steve. Let's say it's a bit further away. Will I be able to reach? I'm sorry, what's there? I don't care. Will I be able to reach? Can you come here, Kimani? Just stand here. Jitanjali, can you stand here? Eng Yang, welcome back. Can you stand here for some time? If you don't mind. Okay. Fernando, stand behind her. Okay. We have to declutter. If I try to go, I want to see Steve, but can I see? Can I get to him? Can I experience his fellowship? No, what's happening? I've got stuff in my way. So what will I have to do? Declutter. What will I have to start? Put them away. Throw them away. Push them away. Put them down. And kick them. And get them. Are you with me? Are you with me? I'm serious, guys. I'm serious. You've got to declutter. If you really want to experience God's presence in 2020, if you want to just carry on the way you are, if you want to just somehow get by in your relationship with God, keep your clutter. But if you really want to experience the outpouring of the Spirit of God in your life, and if you want to really experience victorious life, you got to declutter. Victorious life doesn't come by saying that 100 times I'm victorious. No. Victorious life will come when you start confessing to God, God, I'm undone. Start committing and surrendering your life. There are some clutters in your life. You know who you are. You are holding on to those clutters. It's time for you to declutter. It could be your habit. It could be some thoughts. It could be some relationship. It could be a job that you're in that you're not supposed to be in. It could be things that you're doing you're not supposed to do. You know what clutter is stopping you and hindering your relationship with God. Can I plead with you, church, if you really want to experience, if this church want to experience God's anointing and God's Spirit among us, the baptism of His Spirit, if you want to see lives transformed in this place, if you want to see baptisms in this place, we got to start decluttering, starting from me. I'm sorry, I got carried away. I'm not going to tell you what are those do's and don'ts in your life. I'm not going to sit and judge you here. Please hear me. I know you, some of you, very personally. I know the battles that some of you are going through. So I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to point finger at you. I'm not going to tell you what are the do's and don'ts. But you know what? You know it. You know it. You don't need to tell anybody. Nobody needs to tell you. You know the do's and don'ts in your life that keeps hindering you in your relationship with God. That keeps hindering you in your fellowship with one another in the body of Christ. That keeps hindering you serving the Lord the way you should be. So, simply declutter. Take some time daily and say, Lord, you know what? Clutter easily, we easily accumulate clutter, even every day, isn't it? Each day. In the office, we're writing something and we throw a paper here. And we throw some paper there, or even on our PC, we have to declutter, don't we? Even on our PC, otherwise your desktop is full of stuff, and you're looking for where is my file? It's because you're not decluttering. Do you understand? Do you understand what I mean? So you've got to do that. If you don't do that every day, you will accumulate. You will mass up things that you will take days and months to declutter. You don't want to get to that place. You don't want to get to that place where it's too late for you to even declutter, and that is taking your life away. Please, declutter. Declutter. And if we do not deal with clutter in our lives, James in James 4:8, he warns that we are in danger of becoming double-minded people. Are you with me? He says that come near to God and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. If you're men and women who are walking with clutter in your life, you're double-minded. You're not set on your course. You don't know where you're going. Let's take stock of our lives daily and get rid of things that we must get rid of. Are you with me? And that's exactly what was happening to Israelites. What was happening, it says in several times we read in the Old Testament that, yes, God came and rescued them when they cried out to God. It says that, but still, they were high in the high places. What was that? They had not got rid of the high places. Do you remember that? Again and again, even though they cried out to God, God sent through judges or He rescued them, but it says that still, they had high places of idol worship, high places of adultery and prostitution and Baal worship. All kinds of worship was going on in spite of the fact that God delivered them. You know why they could? And that's the reason they kept falling back into it. Why? Because no, they were not throwing away what they were supposed to throw away. They were not decluttering their lives and their nation. So, finally, we've come to the final one. I won't be too long. The fifth step of C5 routine. So what are the routines so far we've done? Confess. Commit. Cry out. Clear out. Cling on. Cling on to God by serving Him daily. Cling on to God. You were wondering, how do I cling? By serving Him daily. by serving him daily. It says, but the Israelites said to the Lord, we have sinned. Do with us whatever you think best, but please rescue us now. Then they got rid of the foreign gods among them and served the Lord. What did they do? They served the Lord. They clinged on to him. Cling on to God. It means to trust him at all times. Are you with me? Clinging on to God means to trust him at all times, at all occasions. Trust him in good times and bad times. Trust him in joys and sorrows. And the best way to express your trust in God or to clinging on to God is by serving him daily with whatever opportunity God brings your way. Amen, indeed. You know, I like the Psalm 84. The sons of Korah, they express their longing to cling on to God. To stay close to God. This is their longing. Psalm 84, those of you who have read, you know it's a beautiful psalm. There are songs written on this psalm. It says, how lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. Psalm 84. My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. These are people who have decluttered their life. They have set on their pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, yes, there will be suffering. Just because we have become a Christian, just because we are following Christ, it doesn't mean that we will not have difficulty or pain or suffering. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. And I believe this is the picture of the church. As we grow from strength to strength, as Christ is perfecting us through his word each day, daily, so that we would appear together with him before the Father. Isn't that amazing? Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good things, hear me, no good things does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Blessed is the one who clings on to you. Blessed is the one who follows and chases after you. You know, Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:19. He says that clinging to God at all times is crucial, young man. If you do not do that, then you are in danger of making a mess of your faith. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 1:19, cling to your faith, he says. Cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear. For some people have deliberately, do you hear me? Some people have deliberately violated their conscience. As a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. I pray that that will not be our story. I pray that that will not be your story. I pray that that will not be your story, church. That we will not be people who have shipwrecked our faith. In the Message Bible, it puts it this way. There are some, you know, who by relaxing their grip and thinking anything goes, have made a thorough mess of their faith. I think that's no other better way to explain. I'll read that to you again. There are some, you know, who by relaxing their grip and thinking anything goes, isn't that the world we live in? Who teaches us, who tells us that anything goes. You can make your own truth. Anything goes. You can make your own morality. You can make your own moral standard. Anything goes. Church, let's not follow suit with the world and get sucked into that philosophy. Let's cling on to God. Let's cling on to the faith that we profess in Jesus Christ, so that we don't lose grip and think that anything goes and have made a thorough mess of their faith. And my prayer is that we will not mess our faith. So, do not relax your grip. Cling on to Him. You got a routine that God wants you to have daily.